Well, think about, we've been studying the book of John, the gospel record of John, for quite some time, you might say. But I came across this years ago, and I wanted to share it again. I made a graphic a couple of years ago, and I've used it several times in different articles to for reprint. But Brother Franklin Camp had, in the exposition of the expositor, that good book that was put out that had a lot of Brother Camp's material in it. Brother Camp had originally done this, and I don't know where, if he had preached this or if this was an article to begin with, but I want to share this with you regardless tonight. And it comes from John chapter 11. And especially when you start talking with people and you get the idea that, folks are, they feel sometimes that heaven just doesn't care. That basically God put things, set things in order, walked away from His creation, and really not concerned at all about what's going on down here. The things that are happening to me, what's going on in my life. And that feels very personal to them. And John chapter 11 to me is probably, there's numerous passages that might for us express this particular thought that heaven is concerned for earth's sorrows. But I think John chapter 11 is one, and we have already studied the majority of John chapter 11, but so I thought this was a good time to fit this in. A great portion of John chapter 11, we know that these are events that surround the death of Lazarus, the sending of a messenger to Jesus who's about 25 miles away, to tell Jesus that his dear friend, Lazarus, whose sisters, Mary and Martha, this family he loves, and it's very evident that he does, and they send a message that Lazarus is sick. And so that's what takes up, obviously, the majority of John chapter 11. But it's also interesting to note a couple of things about this miracle and the first miracle that we read in John chapter 2, the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. And you remember the signs that, our Lord had performed there. He turned, obviously, water into wine, and in so doing, saved the day of the feast, if you will, of that wedding feast. And now you come to this miracle, and this is the last one before his death, The first one has to do with this great joyous occasion, and now the last one prior to his death is about death. But it's also interesting because when you study the two side by side also, you'll find that John chapter 2, that particular miracle has to do with family. And in John chapter 11, that miracle has to do with family as well. And so while there are some contrasts that we might see, there are some parallels. There are some comparisons lessons that we can gain from just looking at those things. But what we can do is safely say that heaven is certainly concerned about family, is concerned about both joy and sorrow in our lives. And so, again, this is not original with me. Brother Camp wrote these out. And so, number one, when we begin to study John chapter 11, we see heaven's concern through Jesus' actions and his reaction to things that are going on around him. And so the first thing that we notice is that heaven hears. The fact that we read in verse 6, when he had heard, therefore, that Lazarus was sick, he heard this. Heaven hears. This tells me that heaven hears when we speak the name of our loved one before God the Father through Christ. Heaven is listening. Heaven hears those names. In fact, you think about even today, probably the thousands of names of loved ones from saints all over the world who have lifted up their loved one whom they're concerned about to God this very day. But isn't it wonderful to know that heaven hears? We know that his ears are open to their prayers, 1 Peter 3, verse 12. And so we should find some assurance and comfort knowing that, number one, heaven hears. Number two, heaven knows. When you read the account of the death of Lazarus, you find the first knowledge that you have of such is in the statement that Jesus said very plainly, "No, Lazarus is dead." You remember now it's decided, okay, now we're going to go. 4 days have passed. Well, he's asleep, Jesus says to begin with. The disciples didn't get it. So he plainly says, Lazarus is dead. Heaven knows. He's not in the vicinity. He's 25 miles away, but it wouldn't matter if he was 1,000 miles away. Heaven knows. Distance does not limit the knowledge of God. Psalm 139 verses 2 through 10 very plainly and explicitly tells us, as far as the east is from the west, phrases like that show us that heaven knows, and there's no distance that separates or diminishes that knowledge in any way. Darkness doesn't limit his knowledge. All things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do, Hebrews 4 and verse 13. And so that should be a comforting thought. He hears. Number two, he knows. Number three, he loves. We've already talked about the fact that he loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. He loved this family. But not only that, we read about the fact that when they see Jesus weeping, they says, "Well, he loved him." That expression, they saw that love for him. In spite of all the things that this family was going through, Jesus loved them. And if he loves them, and he's given his life for us, he loves us. God so loved the world, right? John chapter 3. Number four, heaven reassures. After the death of Lazarus, then, you know, we know Jesus comes to the village. He arrives there. First thing that Martha says, "If you had been here, my brother whom you love, he would not have died." If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus says, "Your brother's going to rise again." And she says, I know that he'll rise in the resurrection of the last day." And he says, "No, I want you to understand more. I am the resurrection and the life." You see, what he did for her was make that real. The knowledge that she had, the belief in the resurrection that she had, he just made it real for her. "I am the resurrection and the life. You've believed in me already," is what he's saying. But this expression, "I am the resurrection and the life," he is reassuring her. He's in charge of that. And she would be able to see then that her belief is not in vain, but it's real. And it's realized and reassured in the fact that he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And what he's done is made it very personal. And once again, heaven reassures. It's when we come face to face with the sorrows of this earth that heaven's reassurance means more than it ever has, even to us. The more that I read and study, the more reassurance that I gain from that, the more assurance that I gain from studying God's Word, the more confidence I have in my faith in God, in Christ, in His Word that has saved me. That I know that when I face those most difficult things, those things that brings earth sorrows, then I know my faith is realized. It's real. Heaven reassures. Whatever the next number is, I'm not sure. I think it's number 5. Heaven sees. Heaven sees. Notice what John has said, recorded for us. When Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping with her. And the Bible tells us, John records, that he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. Verse 33. Here's the case of our Lord's observation of all things that were going on. Seeing all the things that were taking place, seeing her weeping to the point that others begin to weep with her, and knowing what all is in the background of this, because here our Lord's observation of what death, what effect it had on this family and on the friends that were there to mourn with her. And you can be assured that the one who looked upon this scene knows far more than what we might be able to observe. You see, here's the one who sees as no other sees. Here's the one who could see far beyond. Here's the one who could see back into eternity and to know exactly what was taking place, why death had even visited this family. He could see the reason for the whole thing. If sin had not entered into the human family, there would not be this spiritual or physical death, according to Romans 5, 12 to 14. He could see them hurting, and the hurt was caused by sin. And he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. Not a pleasant sight for our Lord, but he saw it. The last point is this: heaven mourns. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Here they are, obviously at the grave of Lazarus. Taking place, by the way, in the presence of both men and women. And again, we know this is the case because the crowd observes how he loved them. We mentioned that a moment ago, verse 36. And yes, we can know that heaven feels the sorrows that we have. Jesus wept. Those two words, it seems almost trivial to try to think about, well, what could that possibly mean? But when you understand all of these points that he hears, that he knows, that he loves, that he reassures, and that he sees all things going on, and he mourns with this dear family. And I believe this is also part of what you read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. For we do not have an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Of course, then he's going to go on to say, but it was in all points tempted, literally tried in every way that we are tried, not just tempted to sin. That's obviously there in the context in the verses, but tried in every way as the human family is. I know then that he mourns. And when I read this in John chapter 11, I too find reassurance. I find comfort. I hope you will as well. I know because heaven is concerned about earth's sorrows. Heaven is concerned about you. Heaven is concerned about me. Where are you, spiritually speaking, this evening? Have you taken those very first steps to obey the gospel? Believing Jesus to be the Son of God, repenting of sin, confessing your faith in Christ, being baptized in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 verse 38. And maybe you've taken those steps. And John 11 may mean much more to you than you ever thought. Because knowing that he cares for you, Peter expressed that in 1 Peter 5 verse 7. Knowing that he is concerned about you, as expressed here in John chapter 11. He is concerned for you. Can we help? Can we encourage you this evening? If you have a need, come to the front and express it while we stand and while we sing.